The Well, What the Fuck podcast. When you don't know what else to say. Here's your hosts, Cree and John.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back, John. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing great. So we had a little party that we got to enjoy together last weekend. That was a lot of fun to catch up with the fam and everything.
Actual physical in the same place. Yeah, that doesn't happen too often. We got to fix that.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we're on the right track to fix that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for today's little episode because I think this came up after you came on my podcast and really opened up about some personal challenges that you face. And then, you know, when it comes out, we all have those moments in time when our brain is a total asshole.
Yep. I don't know if I told you this, but I actually added a new category to my personal blog called My Brain is an Asshole.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah. Yeah, coming on your podcast was great. It was at a really good time for me, actually, because I was coming out of a lot of bullshit that was going on in my life. And, you know, sometimes we love to suppress and not talk about things and not get help and not let other people know that you're going through shit. And by the way, that's not all that helpful.
No.
It's really not.
It's really not, because you just hold it inside and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, there's nobody on the other side to be an ally and say, hey, look, man, it's not that bad. We can get through this together. And that's what ended up happening for me. As I talked to some folks and was able to kind of get some friendly help that helped me kind of get out of that stuff. So yeah, coming onto your podcast was great. And I was at a point where I was ready to talk about a lot of the shit. But I figured we really should bring some of that stuff over here and maybe tell some of the stories about our brains being assholes.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, this week my brain was being an asshole. So I'm training for this half marathon. I'm running the half marathon on June 1st. And, you know, I'm not, like, running is fine, but it's not really my sport of choice. But sure. It's easy. It's accessible. I don't have to go to the gym. I could just really walk out my front door and run. Like, there's no excuse not to do it. So I've had a goal this whole time about wanting to run this half marathon, which, by the way, I've never run a half marathon before.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I wanted to run this half marathon and be able to run the whole time. Like, I didn't care how fast I went, even if it was like 15-minute miles. I didn't really care. Yeah. But I just wanted to be able to run the whole time. So for the past couple of weeks, I've really been struggling. We're about 3 weeks out from race day, and that means that the miles start to get pretty long.
Oh, yeah. By the way, just so you know, I ran a half marathon. So I know about that buildup in your training where all of a sudden they're like 8, 9, 10-mile runs. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're out there for a while.
Yeah.
And so what was happening is, as I'm running, I was just starting to get in my head, like, how much longer do I have to go? Can I even do this? I think my pinky toe might start to get sore. So I should stop, you know, just all that like self-sabotage stuff.
Yeah.
So this week, what I did is I finally said, you know what? This is enough. I checked in with myself. I still want to accomplish this goal. I enjoy now going out and running every day, maybe not these long distances, but it's kind of become part of my routine. Mm-hmm. And so I finally just was like, you know, why am I torturing myself and saying that I still need to run the whole time? So I just changed my goal and it feels great.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't sound like you changed your goal. I mean, your goal was to run a half marathon. Like, that's the big goal, right?
Yes.
And then as a sub goal, you wanted to run the entire time, no stopping.
Yes, but my brain wasn't telling me that. My brain was like, if you change your goal, then you know,
then
you're
it's
total,
all for naught. Then none of it matters.
Yeah, like why have I been running since November? And then I start to get hard, just be hard on myself about, you know, well, how come you can't do this? You've been running, and what's you know, what's the matter with you? And so, I finally just ignored that, and I really have to talk to myself.
That's definitely asshole brain territory right there.
It is asshole brain territory.
Because if you think about it, you're still doing something that not a lot of people do, getting out and running. Running a half marathon is no joke, by the way. That's a commitment. Just the training side of it. The, you know, Saturday, like for us when we were doing it, it was like a bunch of, when we were doing the training, it was, you know, during the week we were a bunch of kind of mid-size runs. And then Saturday was kind of like the long run. Mm-hmm. And holy balls. I mean, you're just out there and it feels like you're out there forever.
You are. Well, at least I am. Yeah. I really am out there forever.
Believe me, we were out there forever.
In fact, I've been putting a playlist together, like a song playlist. And I showed it to a friend of mine, and she's like, oh, you better add some more songs to that because it wasn't long enough.
Sounds like your friend's an asshole, too, but that's a different story.
Yeah, that's a whole different story. So,
yeah. So let me tell you about one that has that came up for me recently. And I actually, you know, when things are going bad, or if I've done something wrong, and or even if my brain has perceived that I've done something wrong, my brain will be the first one to just jump in there and just pile on. It's the, you know, if I make a mistake at work, you know, for me, it's full on imposter syndrome anyway. So I'm always just right on the edge of feeling like they're going to fire me at any point now, because they're going to realize that they've obviously made a mistake in hiring me. Mm-hmm. So if I make the slightest mistake at work, like it can really derail the rest of my day. And if it's not something that I can fix on my own and I have to go get help to fix it, then it can derail me for a while, and I'll, you know, bouts of depression, but I've been better at managing it. And so so here's a fun one that happened, which is I started reading this book called 10 Days to Faster Reading or Speed Reading or something. I don't remember the exact title. But every chapter, there's a test that you take. It's a passage that you read. I think it's like 400-ish words or whatever. And then you record your time, and then they ask you 10 questions about it, and you record your comprehension level of the 10 questions, how many you got right, 1 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 10 out of 10, et cetera. So do the first one. By the way, first one is baseline. They haven't taught you anything yet on how to speed read. Okay, great. I got X score. Learned a couple of things, did the second one, got a better score. Then the next one, got a better score. Finally, on this other one, what ended up being my last test, not the last test I took, but my score jumped big. Like they showed us a thing, and then I read it, and my score jumped like really big, large percentage. And I was like, all right, that felt great. Comprehension was way up here. The final article was actually an article about Michael Jordan. Now, I'm not a gigantic basketball fan, but I know who Michael Jordan is, and I am a sports fan.
Yeah.
So I know a fair bit about him and about his accolades, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I had about 10 seconds where I got to enjoy the fact that my score had jumped significantly in speed and remained high in comprehension. And then my brain says, well, of course you did better on that one. Like, you already, like, everybody knows who Michael Jordan is.
Yeah.
So, of course you were going to be able to, you know, barely skim this thing and yet answer those 10 questions. And, like, it really just, it took, like, I do my reading in the morning, and it just really beat me down for like the first half of the day. And I ended up having a conversation later in the day. Somebody had asked me how I was doing, and I was telling him about this thing that happened. And he's like, there's no reason for you to feel bad about that. Like, your brain is right. You should know that stuff about Michael Jordan, so you should be able to do those things faster. That's what speed reading is. Like, that's the whole benefit there. Like, why languish reading something that you're already, you know, very familiar with? Mm-hmm. And he actually told me a great little tip about speed reading for him was when he goes to read books, he'll maybe read two or three books on the same subject right in a row, because you already have a general idea of the concepts and things. And so it really sped it up. So first off, my brain just total asshole mode. But I was super stoked to be able to find a way back out of it.
Yeah. And it sounds like for you, it took someone else to intervene and say, hey, wait a minute. You should be faster, or you know what you're doing. So that totally makes sense. You know,
a little bit of outside re-encouragement. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And weird, it's like, right? So for you, I'm curious to know, when you get into that mode, like the imposter syndrome mode, mm-hmm. Do you always recognize that you're there?
That I'm... not right away.
Yeah.
Not right away. Sometimes it's obvious. I just gave a presentation at a conference a week or two back. And when I very first was starting to learn this new thing that I was going to end up teaching... I felt like I was just so far out of my depth for it. I'm a PHP developer. I have been for quite a long time at this point. And I'll never say that I'm a great PHP developer, but I do okay. And yet, for whatever reason, I just have these weird roadblocks in my head that, oh, well, you can't do that because that's really for real developers. And you can't do this because that's for real developers. You just kind of tinker with PHP and do okay. So, that's my brain.
That's
welcome.
Dick move, brain.
Right? Total dick move.
So here's something funny. Yeah. The question I wanted to ask you, I hope this is funny, was like,
oh boy,
this is where my brain is an asshole. I get a little sarcastic sometimes. You know, I wanted to say, well, does skipping reading count as speed reading?
Oh, like if I just don't even read it, I just flip the pages?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I could read like 300 pages, like in a second, just flip the book over.
Yeah. I get those moments too where I'll get in my brain about things. I don't always recognize it right away. I can remember when I first started my business, you know, y'all know the story about how I got fired and or laid off or something weird happened.
And then had a party.
Yeah. And it was a good year of me just not feeling myself.
Yeah. Sure.
I was still getting up and being productive and, you know, and sometimes for me at least, it isn't till way later I realize it's almost as if after I've come out of it, I can look back and go, you know what? I think I might have been a little depressed.
Yeah.
There was something going on. Like, what?
And that's tough.
Yeah. And that's why I asked. I was like, you know, what if I could have recognized that a little earlier? Or, you know, why am I beating myself up so much? I know what I'm doing. You know, I have those moments too as a business owner. It's like, what are you doing here? Why, you know, what makes you think that you can teach people about leadership when you aren't even doing the things you say? You know, I get those moments all the time, and I have to have self-talk with myself.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today was being able to recognize when it's happening. Like, even if you don't recognize it while it's happening, but maybe, you know, shortly thereafter, you're able to kind of go, okay, stop. Let's, you know, moving the needle closer to when it's actually happening is important. Mm-hmm. But I'm really curious what you, are there things that you're doing now that are helping you either avoid those situations, avoid that negative self-talk? Are there things that you're doing now to kind of circumvent the situation from happening rather than having to go back and play cleanup?
Yeah, I think it's about, for me, it's being very clear about what's happening in my life. Mm-hmm. And really putting some thought into the things that are important to me. And that's really easy to say for, let's say, my business. Of course, I want to have goals and I want to have, you know, I have data now because I've been in business for 3 years. So there's things that I can look at. Yeah. I've taught a ton of classes now. I've, you know, I speak in front of large size groups pretty often at this point. And so I'm at a more comfortable place because I've done it so much. But more mm-hmm. importantly, now I take time out to plan ahead. And that isn't just with my business, but it's also just with my personal life. You know, being more organized with when and how I eat, you know, saving for vacations. I don't know, just taking time out to think ahead, think about what it is that I want to do, and then moving in that direction and not just kind of like floundering around in this dead space.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So I've been, we've talked about it before, tiny habits. A couple of the tiny habits that I have put together for myself have really helped. I feel like they're giving me that benefit of just kind of like that personal check-in, and, you know, hey, John, how you doing type thing. So two of them are, and I'm not doing this one daily, but, like just the gratitudes, like the things that you're thankful for. What I'm doing is I'm trying to, if I'm doing it at the end of the day, like, you know, what are a couple of things today that happened that you're grateful for? And when I think about those things, it allows me to remember the positive things that actually happened. You know, that could be a conversation with somebody that went real well. It could be somebody stepping in and helping out with something, you know, work related, personal related, whatever. But what I found is just taking that time to actually even consider the good stuff that's going on rather than letting my brain focus 100% of its asshole time on the negative stuff has been super, super helpful. But the other one, the actual big one, and the gratitude stuff is good, but meditation.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do any meditating?
You know, I've tried to do, so meditation for me is like when I go running or when I go hiking, I am able to be in my space and in my body. And I really, sometimes I'll think of work as in like new ideas, but I think that those happen because I'm able to clear my head. Like I really put myself in the moment and I enjoy, you know, just being outdoors or whatever. So for meditation, that's kind of how I meditate. I've tried to do like in the morning, take time out. I haven't found a method that really works for me. Is that what you're doing?
I am, but I'm also in the middle of still trying to find out exactly what works for me.
Yeah.
I'm really new to it. So I've put it on my daily list of things to do and I have been doing it daily. But it has kind of come in all sort of shapes and sizes. Sometimes I get it done first thing in the morning. So if I'm sitting down and having my coffee before I get to my desk, if I have a few extra minutes, I'll grab the app that I use and I will find like a nice little short, They've got meditation. They've got guided meditations for a whole bunch of different, you know, feelings, like whether you're trying to go to sleep or whether you're trying to relax or whether you're trying to get energized or, you know, gratitudes or whatever. So I'll find some sort of like if I'm going to do it in the morning, I'll find some sort of like an energetic, like ready to take on the world type thing. And those have been good. But I also have found that I've got a couple that I've now saved where they're like 8 minutes long, guided meditations, that if I do them while I'm laying in bed, oh, I'll be asleep by the end.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So rather than being stuck in bed, laying there, letting my asshole brain do its thing, because that's really a for me, being in bed and just laying there, getting to sleep can be difficult because my brain is just like, hey, remember all those bad things that you've done in your entire life? Let's talk about every single one of them. I know we did this last night, but we're going to do it again tonight.
Right. That's good, though, that you're able to do that. And even though you feel like you haven't found whatever it is that might really, really work for you, you're still trying it and doing it. And it's, you know, it seems to be helping. That's pretty awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think that you're doing it while you're running. Oh, without a doubt. Because first off, we already know you're going to be out there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really, when we were training, I really enjoyed that aspect of it too. I also, and this doesn't happen for me very often, but like I enjoy driving. And if I'm driving by myself, sometimes I'll turn off the radio and I'll just think and just, or not think, you know, just basically let my brain just shut off. Cause a lot of times I don't have, you know, I live in a full house. And so I don't necessarily have a whole bunch of time to just kind of sit quiet. Because a lot of times if I am by myself, what do? I'm like, oh, great. Nobody's going to be bothered if I just sit down and work for 4 hours. Because I'm, you know what I mean? So it's hard for me to kind of find those times where it's like, hey, let's just set aside some time to do nothing and think.
Yeah.
Oy.
Okay, people, look alive. We're back with Cree and John.
Yeah, and you know, if you talk to or listen to and like Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss and those type of people come to mind with this, and you know, they often talk about things that successful people do. And successful people have like some sort of a ritual, something that they do every day. And it could include meditation. It could include getting up in the morning and journaling, you know, exercise, whatever that looks like. And I think that that's really important because as you find yourself getting into these asshole modes, my brain is an asshole mode, you know, if you can fall back on something, like you have your tiny habits, which I think is awesome. And that's a way, if you can recognize that things aren't going right in your mind, you can just turn to those steps and you can kind of remove the emotion from the situation. You know,
that's a great point. Yeah.
And then just plug into whatever you know works for you.
Yeah.
I think that that's really important.
Yeah. And I need to focus on that more and just be ready to understand that I'm in the moment of, you know, hey, asshole brain, I hear you over there. Why don't you just go shut up and I'll go carry on with my day feeling good. Yeah, it's tough. It's, you know, I'm in a really good spot right now. So the ability to kind of catch it and stop it or even prevent it from happening just by, you know, by doing things on a daily basis that that make me feel good, and you know, remaining positive. And I'm wondering how much of that is because I'm at a high point right now, and I wonder how different that might be, and how much harder it might be to catch it if I'm not in a great spot.
Yeah. Have your low points changed over time? So the reason why I ask is because right now you're in a good spot. So you're really working hard to stay there and you're putting these methods in place that work. And so I'm wondering if, and you know, if things get bad again, if you'll catch it sooner and then your low spot won't be as low, maybe as the last time. I don't know.
I know. And that's an interesting question. And I don't I don't have an answer for it, because I can tell you that I, coming out of the last low point, I don't remember coming out of the low point before that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember that transition.
I mean, to me, that means you just weren't as aware then as maybe you are now.
And there's 100% truth in that, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that talking to other people is helpful?
Super helpful.
Yeah. So for you, another question I have is, when you're in that space, what do you suggest other people do? Like, let's say, you know, we're recording and I can tell that maybe things are different. Your demeanor's different, or you seem sad, or, you know, what is something that I can do to talk to you about it?
That's it. Talk. Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
You know, people always say, you know, hey, if you're not feeling well, reach out, you know, anytime. And I've told people this, and one of the most important things that somebody ever told me was a friend of mine who, when he knew that I was in a bad spot, he told me that he's like, you have my number and you can call me anytime, day or night. You will never be a bother. And, you know, if it's 3 a.m. and you just need to talk, I can pick up the phone and step into the other room. So just knowing that somebody says that and actually physically means that, that was super helpful. That was super important. And that came at a time when I was in a really, really dark spot. And so that meant a lot. And I actually got to turn the tables and do the same thing for somebody else. When he was going through some bad stuff, I was able to say, you know, I'm available 24/7. And he did. He took me up on that. And he called me a couple of times way late at night, super early in the morning. And not once was it ever a bother for me, ever. And people who are in that deep, dark depression, the problem is when somebody says you can reach out whenever you want, when your asshole brain is really got control of you, it's very difficult to reach out because you don't want to be a bother. Oh, I'm not going to call him because I'm just going to be a bother. And, you know, you don't want to be around somebody who is feeling sad. Why would they want to be around me? And so it's really difficult, to reach out when you're in that spot. So I think, one of the things that all of us can do is, you know, really checking in on our friends. And, you know, we're so connected now through social media, and, you know, everybody tries to on social media put such a happy spin on everything, that it becomes very difficult. But at the same time, you know, if you're connected to your friends, you know, when maybe something is a little bit off, and that's a great time to just reach out. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily take it on head on and be like, hey, you seem depressed, because more than likely you're not clinically trained to deal with that. But that does not mean that you can't say, how are you doing? Are you okay? Do you need somebody to chat with? Do you need somebody to not chat with? Do you need somebody to just hang out and be with? Even if that means watching TV and not saying a word to each other for 6 hours while we watch some marathon, that's what somebody can do, is just being there for people and reaching out.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that advice. And, you know, you bring up something really important too about social media. Mm-hmm. And you're so right. You look at social media and everybody's life seems so good and so happy. Social media is so good. I love it, but I also hate it for those reasons like that, where So would you say if you're in that zone, you should not look to social media?
For sure, because if you're feeling bad and then you're just looking and all your friends are just doing, everything is amazing. You know, you just, it can just really be a pile on to your already damaged emotions.
Yeah. And there's just a lot to be said for, in, along the same vein with social media. I think we can also take it for granted, because we are just assuming that everything is okay with everyone.
Yep.
And, you know, having those phone calls or meeting up or reaching out, even if it's a text message, something, yep. right? Being yep. purposeful about maintaining those relationships in your life outside of social media, I think is so important.
Well, without a doubt, yeah. You know, I think that... social media is great because it does help us stay connected. And, you know, not everybody is 100% transparent on there, and that's okay. I'm not advocating for just, you know, dumping all of your, you know, all your issues right onto social media. That doesn't necessarily help you either, because then what you get is you get the quarterback, you know, the Monday morning quarterback who knows everything about everything. Oh, you're depressed? All you need to do is go for a walk. That doesn't work for everybody. So throwing everything out for the world to pick apart isn't the answer either.
But that's good advice too. That's a good tip for something not to do, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Not being an asshole and, just tell everybody that, you've got the answer to all of their problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you don't.
No, you have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you instead said, I understand that you're going through something terrible right now. Is there anything that I can do to help? Or I'd love to just hear about it and let you tell me about it.
Yeah.
You know, don't be a fixer. You can't be a fixer for somebody else. That's, you know, if I'm in a really bad spot and you say, how are you doing? And I say, oh, well, this is going wrong and that's going wrong and that's going wrong. The worst thing that you can do is be on the other end and say, well, did you try this? Well, did you try that? Because more often than not, yeah, they probably have tried all of those things. And all you're really going to do is just reinforce the fact that, that they're, you know, maybe they failed at getting better even after trying those simple things. And maybe it just hasn't run its course yet. And the best thing that you can do is just let somebody talk to you about it and tell them how they're feeling about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so great that we're able to have conversations like this. At least I feel like we do. I don't know if it's because you and I are getting older now or what, but it just seems like, you know, in general, overall, mental health is super important. And you hear more stories like this and, yeah. you know, you're reading about it. And I think it's such a good thing that we're talking about it.
Yep, absolutely. The number one thing you can do to help is, you know, remove the stigma. Like that's the biggest thing is the stigma. You know, people don't want to talk about being depressed or having anxiety or any of that because they're going to feel like they're being judged, and nobody wants that. So
yeah, and I have not met a person yet who doesn't have moments like this.
Of course.
You know, and I'm not saying we all have the same story or go through the same thing and we can, you know, to your point, you know, oh, I've been sad before, so this works for me. It has to work for you.
Right.
You know, but just realizing that we all have shit going on.
Yep.
And have our own thing going on and being aware and listening and paying attention, and that communication isn't just a one-way street. Just really, really pay attention and have empathy for others.
Empathy, my favorite word. If you come at everything with a big old suitcase full of empathy, you are going to be amazed at how much you can turn around in the world just by giving a shit about somebody else for a minute. It's crazy. Yeah.
And put that higher on your priority list.
Yeah.
Whatever you go through, the thought process that you go through when you're interacting with others or in situations, that should be at the top of the list.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, can I tell you one thing that when I was really kind of going through the crap, one thing that really actually helped and made me feel connected? I used to listen to a podcast. No. I still listen to a podcast called The Hilarious World of Depression. And I know I've told you about it before.
Yep.
And I'll tell you about it 1,000 times more because it, for me, it was so good. Here's why. It was the premise of it is it's a gentleman who goes and talks to comedians who have clinical depression, anxiety, and he brings them on and they talk about it. And sometimes the stories, they talk about, you know, not that it's funny and it's not, they're not trying to make it funny and they're not making fun of it. But at the same time, there are funny stories that kind of come along with the situations. And so he basically talks to these comedians because as it turns out in that realm, the comedic realm, depression and anxiety is like rampant. That's just, it's a very dark place for them.
Yeah, which is ironic, isn't it?
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So he brings those folks on there and they talk about it and they talk about things that they've gone through in their life. And I cannot tell you how many times I'm just sitting there and I find myself nodding along. Yeah, that happened to me. Yes, my brain thinks that way. I've had those types of thoughts too. I never even really put two and two together that those two things were really depression and my brain just being an asshole and wedging itself into my life. So for me, a lot of what really helped me was, hey, I'm not the only one who's gone through this. I'm not the only person to have ever had those thoughts. Just having that, hey man, yeah, that happened to me too. For me, that was comforting.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're feeling this way, what is something that you could say to your friends, you know, to kind of help yourself? Maybe some people just get quiet or disappear, or, you know, when you recognize that you're in that space, what is some advice that you could give to help get yourself out of it?
You know, that's tough. And I don't even think I'm going to answer the question. And I'll tell you why, because again, what works for me may not work for you. And here's the other thing. What works for me today may not work tomorrow and it may not work the other time, but it may work down the line. So, you know, I think there are some just general things that you can do. Look at your diet, see what you're eating, see if you can maybe kind of clean some of that stuff up. I love the idea of going for a walk, getting in, you know, getting back to yourself and giving yourself time to think but for some people, the thinking part is the bad part. That's the part that sends them right over, you know, because if your asshole brain is running the show, maybe thinking is the last thing you want to do. So maybe for you, going to a concert is the thing, or calling up a friend and saying, hey, let's just sit on the couch and do nothing for the weekend. So, you know, it's so hard. It's so hard to say this is the thing because there isn't a thing. Because if there was a thing, depression wouldn't be a thing.
That's true. That's so true.
So,
yeah.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but
very,
I mean, again.
Very cheery episode today.
Yeah. No, I remember when you came in for my podcast and this is something that I didn't know about you. And to me, you are a happy person that, you know, that navigates this life and through a positive lens. And I know you as somebody who's very capable smart. I mean, you are a person I turn to when I don't know the answer to things. And 9 times out of 10, you have an answer for me. And so, you know, it's just, again, it's so important to talk about it. And I just commend you for being vulnerable and opening up about this important topic.
It is important. And if we're not opening up about it, then we're part of the problem, really. You know, because we are all going through something, and you know, something that somebody else who may be in my industry may be sitting there quietly battling all by themselves and thinking that they're the only one. So if I'm somebody that anybody goes, oh, well, if he could be having issues and so am I, then, you know, then it's okay. I'm going to be able to get through this because he has. I mean, how could you not want to put that out there, right? So whatever industry you're in, you know, there's people who look up to you, and, you know, you need to be a bit of a role model for those folks. And, you know, talk about the things that that are going on in your life, and then be ready on the other side to just sit and listen, and don't try to fix, just listen. Let somebody else do the talking and hear what they have to say, and you don't know how far that can really pull somebody out of a dark spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that.
My pleasure. We should do this again, like maybe in 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I do want to find out what you know, what other folks do. What are some things that you do when you're in that bad spot? Like, what works for you, Cree? What works for you when you're realizing that shit is just not going the way that you want? How do you pull up the boots and get through?
Yeah, I mean, I just take a break. I step away.
So when you realize that something is not going right, you...
Yeah, I mean, I just take a break. I get outside and I just get back to the things that I love. You know, having this conversation, I have a very close friend of mine who was in a really, really bad spot. This happened like a year ago. Mm-hmm. Next month, it'll be a year ago. And... it's incredible because now I'm realizing the stuff that I was doing for him was so detrimental, because I'm a helper and a fixer.
So am I.
Totally. Especially, you know, when I see somebody who I care deeply about going through such a hard time. And so I guess I'm having a difficult time kind of talking about my stuff, because I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about my friend, and this advice is... I wish I'd known it a year ago, you know, but I didn't. But yeah, as far as my situation goes, I mean, I got really sad after I left my job, so much so that I didn't even want to put a resume together to go try to get another job in that industry.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, my mechanism was, well, it's just not working. It's time to do something else, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but maybe, you know, I'm masking something else that might be going on. You know, I have no idea. Yeah. But in general, for me, I really just like to be alone. I like to work through the process in however long it's going to take me to work through it. And I'm one of those that... it's all making sense now. When I'm ready to talk about it, I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like almost violated if you know, somebody's trying to fix it and I'm not ready yet.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You haven't finished the processing portion for yourself that would even make you ready for somebody to fix it. Mm-hmm. Like there is no fix, because you're not ready to be fixed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not ready to be fixed. Yeah, totally.
No, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also interested to hear from our audience. Yeah, what are your experiences? What do you find that works? But just talk about it. Let's just talk about this topic in general, right? Yeah.
Please, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, again, super high energy.
But so important. So yeah. Important.
It is. I don't care what industry you're in. Somebody you know is going through some shit. So be on the lookout. If there's something that you can do, do it. Bring your empathy game.
Yep. Take care of each other.
And that's a wrap on another fine episode of the Well What the Fuck podcast. It would mean the world to us.
And by us, I mean John and Cree.
They're not paying me enough to be that invested. But as I was saying, it would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave a review. And don't forget to head over to WellWTF.com. I'm sure they're trying to push something on you over there.
Enjoy the turkey.